Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. My name is Marlon Sharp, the National Field Director for STANS, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thanks, everybody, for taking time to join us. This is a very timely discussion we're going to have today because there's so much going on with the economy right now, with the tariffs, with questions about the CR and whether that was going to pass or potential government shutdown and when will inflation end, and all of these things that have to do with our economic well-being. Well, we've got an expert on that issue and a number of subheadings under that as well. So let's have a word of prayer and give him the floor. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great nation. Thank you for the reprieve that we've gotten with Donald Trump as President of the United States, who is restoring those Judeo-Christian foundations and principles and individual liberties that made America the greatest nation on earth. Thank you for sparing his life from an assassin's bullet and from a plot by another assassin. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing him and keeping him to be in the leadership role he's in at this particular moment when we so desperately need a leader like him who can restore the foundations. He calls it a golden age. Well, Lord, may it be so. But he's restoring the foundations of American society. And, Lord God, we want our country to remain a free constitutional republic. And there are those who are working so very hard to undo that, even though they're claiming that they're fighting for democracy. They're actually fighting for autocracy and tyranny. So, Lord, we want America to remain a nation whose God is the Lord, and that's the source of our freedom. So, Father God, thank you for him. Thank you for our country. Thank you for these leaders on the call and all that they do to try to preserve American liberty. And, Lord God, thank you for our guest speaker today who has been on the front lines of trying to save America for many, many years, and we are so grateful for him. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for this discussion we're going to have today. Lead, guide, and direct it, Lord, so that we come away from it with what you want us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, thanks as always for taking time to join us. Our guest today has become a dear friend of mine. We've known each other, I think, for about a year or two, but he is really an extraordinary person. You'll get to know that when you hear him, but if you haven't already. But he is the founder and CEO of Freeman Global Holdings. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's the host of Economic War Room, which is on Blaze TV, and on it goes. He's considered one of the world's leading experts on the issues of economic warfare and financial terrorism. I think the thing, though, that most impressed me about him is his absolute unswerving faith in Almighty God and Jesus Christ, because we've had some talks that have just really just inspired me in terms of his walk with the Lord. So without any further ado, Kevin D. Freeman. Kevin, thanks for taking time out of what we know is a very busy schedule to join us. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you, Bishop. And I want to start with the scriptures, if I could. You know, people say, how do we fix America? And a lot of people turn to 2 Chronicles, and they'll go to 7:14. But there is actually in chapter 34 another important step in making America right. And just to tell you that story briefly, it's the story of the boy king, is Josiah. And when he was 8 years old, he became king. Well, that's because his father, who was just like 24 years of age, his father was murdered by his servants. Why? Because he was desperately wicked. His grandfather, Manasseh, was a king for a long time, but he was also desperately wicked. And why was that? You got to go back to his great-grandfather, Josiah's great-grandfather, who was King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was a good king, and he'd followed after David, and he'd done the right things. Except when the Lord told him, hey, wrap up your affairs, I'm calling you home, he begged God for extra time. And when he begged God for extra time, God granted it to him. But during that extra time, he made some mistakes. One of the mistakes that he made was he showed off his own treasuries. And the prophet came along and said, why do you show the Assyrians all the money you had? Why, they're going to cart all that off. And you read between the lines, Yeah, Hezekiah's number one, he was comforted that it wasn't going to happen in his lifetime, which is a little scary because he wasn't worried about the next generation. He was just worried about himself, and that's a sign of a mistake. That's a sin, and that's what America has stopped worrying about future generations. We just worry about our own selves. That's a sin. But what he did was he began to move money and built into the house of the Lord, into God's temple. He set aside special rooms or chambers to put extra money in, and he, doing that, he really set up for some problems for Israel down the road. One of the problems for Israel down the road was that when Manasseh came in and he wanted to find God in the temple, what he found was money, and money answers everything. Money can solve every problem that you have, except it can't buy you health. It can buy health care, but not health. It can't buy relationships. It can buy fake relationships, but not real ones. And it can't buy salvation. But other than the three most important things of life, your family, your health, and your relationship with God and your eternal salvation, it can buy pretty much everything else. Well, that messed up Manasseh. It messed up Amon. But then Josiah comes along. He's 8 years old. He doesn't care anything about the money. In fact, I pictured in my mind all my life, you know, I picture in my mind King Josiah, 8 years old, and I've got this VeggieTale view. He's kicking a soccer ball around the temple. He's just been made king. What am I going to do? And a soccer ball knocks over a dusty old book, blows the dust off of it, reads it's the word of God, tears his clothes, and calls Israel to repentance. Well, that would have been nice if that's what happened, but it's not what happened. When he was 8 years old, he became king, but it wasn't until age 16, 8 years later, that he began to seek God. At age 20, he decided to tear down the false worship. And at age 26, in the 18th year of his reign, he decided to rebuild the house of God. And why is that important? Well, his counselors, everybody who was working with him, said, okay, you want to build God's house, we'll go tax the people, we'll bring the money in, and we'll build the temple and just add to your... No, he said, no, why would you do that? There's all this money stored up in the temple from my great-grandfather. Get that money out, and you start paying it out to the people. Get it out in the community. You pay the artisans, the craftsmen, the stone cutters, the builders, and you pay them to come in and build the temple. What he did was he started circulating money out. And here's the key passage, 2 Chronicles 34:14. It says, now when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest uncovered the book of the law of the Lord as given by Moses. And I want to repeat that. When they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest uncovered the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Yes, if you heard that correctly, you heard that they did not find God's word until they got the money out of the way. The money was interfering with their ability to find and see God. And that was true then, and it was true in the days of Jesus when he said in Luke 16:11, he said, if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who's ever going to trust you with true riches? What does it mean to be trustworthy with handling worldly wealth? Well, it doesn't mean storing up for yourself riches here on earth. It doesn't mean accumulating as much as you can in the temple of God and saying that you're rich and therefore you don't need God. It means getting the money useful, getting it out into the communities. It's the same thing with the parable of the three stewards. You know, one of them, hey, I'm giving you some talents. That talent was money. I'm giving you some money. Go out and see what you can do with it. First one got 5 talents, came back with 10. Blessings to him. Second one had 2 talents, came back with 4. Blessings to him. The third one just said, oh, I'm worried about what's going to happen. Buried the money, put it in the backyard, buried it in the ground. And the master said, you wicked servant. Why couldn't you have at least put it to the bankers with interest? You know what the problem with America today is? We've made it all about the money. And we've accumulated money. And that's led us to some serious economic problems. We don't worry about future generations. We're only worried about this generation, and it's created 5 undeniable truths of money, which is what I'll share with you briefly, and then we'll take questions. Number one, we have an unsustainable debt path. You know that. We have $36.6 trillion in debt. That's up $4.5 trillion in 20 months. We're adding $1 trillion every 90 to 120 days in debt. Debt is a curse. It's not a blessing, and our federal government is putting future generations at risk. And they know that they're doing it, Elon Musk said, if we don't do something about our national debt, our dollar will be worth nothing. Guess what? The reason we have inflation is because we're printing too many dollars. We're adding interest of $3 billion a day, interest only, just paying the interest on our federal debt. This is unsustainable. We'll add $100 trillion to our debt over the next 30 years. That's point number one. Debt path is unsustainable. Number two, other nations are targeting our currency. No wonder the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, have decided that they want to dethrone the dollar, China being at the lead of that. And their intention is to make the dollar worthless around the world. That's the second undeniable truth. Whether they succeed or not is a different question, but I can promise you that they're trying. Number three, we have inflation, and that creates a wealth gap that hurts the poor and will lead to destabilization. God hates unjust weights and measures. I'm reading Proverbs 11. Read Proverbs 11 or Proverbs 11 today. If you read a proverb daily, it starts off with God's hatred of unjust weights and measures. Well, guess what? Money that's not backed by anything is necessarily a unjust weight and measure. You know, rich people can profit from inflation. The average middle class and poor people, they get hurt by it. And all this money printing is not helping the poor. It's hurting them. And so that's the third undeniable truth. The fourth undeniable truth is the government's got a solution. They're going to fix it. You know, governments always have. They create a problem, and then they create a solution to the problem they created. And the solution they've got is we're going to create central bank digital currency. And that's designed to weaponize and control people. We can control what you can spend, how you spend, and so forth. Look up CBDC. Every major nation of the world is trying to build this. It is a control mechanism for the citizens of their country. And it's a very sad one. It is equated in many respects to the mark of the beast found in Revelation. Unless you have a central bank digital currency, you won't be allowed to buy or sell. And that is the mark, like the mark of the beast. That's the fourth undeniable truth. And the fifth undeniable truth is that money is changing. We like the nostalgic idea that our money is backed by gold and silver, but it's not any longer. Money is changing. It's changing in many ways, whether it's changing into Venmo or PayPal or a tap to pay, or now we have reverse ATMs where you take your money and you put it in the ATM machine and they give you a card out, a debit card out. Money is changing. We're moving towards a cashless society. So what's the answer? How do we address this? Shouldn't people have an option to defend themselves? And the answer is absolutely yes. It's something I call pirate money. It's transactional gold and silver. When our founders wrote the Constitution, they put Article 1, Section 10 that says no state shall make anything other than gold and silver coin legal tender for payment of debts. That's in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. Well, why shouldn't on a state-by-state basis, and I was talking to the treasurer of the state of Oklahoma this morning, I talked to the treasurer of the state of Utah last week, the treasurer of Florida, its chief financial officer, we're working in like 24 states showing them a constitutional way people could own gold and silver as money and then spend it using modern technology and a debit card. We call it pirate money. I wrote a book on it called Pirate Money. We've got a website that explains it called transactionalgold.com, and I would invite every one of you to go to that website and sign up to learn more about it, but also to help us support it. People want this. We put it on a ballot proposition, Proposition 7 in the state of Texas that ran last year, and 76.5% were in favor. That's 1.6 million Texans voted. I want to have the ability to do my business in gold and silver as an option. We're not replacing the U.S. dollar. We're merely using a constitutional option. If you can do Bitcoin, you absolutely can do gold and silver. And like I said, we've got two dozen states. We also had a study that was performed in the state of Utah where a former vice chairman of the Federal Reserve, the head of the Utah Bankers Association, a former senior vice president at Citigroup and American Express all sat on a committee. We discussed it. Is it legal? Is it constitutional? Is it workable? And the conclusion was the constitutional and legal foundation addressed by this work group provides a strong basis for gold as legal money once again, eliminating federal capital gains taxes on gold transactions. This is something I'm very excited about. I believe it's God's answer. It's an honest weight and measure. You go to Genesis to Revelation, and you try and read, what does God say about money? And the answer, it's gold or silver. It's over and over and over. And why gold or silver? Well, 100 years ago, if you had a $20 gold piece or a $20 bill, they were equivalent. Now, 100 years later, that 1 ounce of gold is worth almost $3,000, but that $20 bill is just worth $20, but it doesn't buy nearly as much. The dollar's lost 99% of its purchasing power since 100 years ago. And that's true since 1971. In my lifetime, it's lost 92% of its purchasing power. So bottom line is we have a solution allowing gold and silver as legal tender that you can use and pay for stuff with a debit card. I use it, and you can hold your money as an option. And the state should be able to make this possible for you and for all the people that you care about. It is a solution God has given us. And the Constitution allows for, and it is what I think is the answer to making money right again. And until we make money right again, Luke 16:11 says that God that no one will trust us with true riches. So with that, I know there might be a lot of questions, and I know we've got about 13 minutes left of time. I want to turn it back to you, Bishop, to see if I can answer any questions people might have. Hello?
I think maybe Bishop may be off the grid here a little bit. He's still checked in, but I don't hear him on the line.
Well, what I can do, go ahead.
Go ahead, Kevin.
What I can do is I can tell you the most popular questions that I'm asked, and then I'll give you the answer, because immediately people say, well, I can't afford gold. That's the first thing people say is, I can't afford gold. You know, there's a technology out there that you can use. You can add it as an app on your iPhone, and you can buy as little as 1 cent worth of gold. This is economic justice, because right now, until we enact something like this, gold and silver are really reserved for the wealthy, and they use them to protect and hedge their money. But with this technology, if your state, whether it's Kansas or Utah or Nebraska or Oklahoma or North Dakota or New Hampshire, and all those states are looking at this, Missouri, Arkansas, we've got about 24 states. You can see what those states are at transactionalgold.com. But if this passes, you could just hold just a small amount of money and keep it in the form of gold and silver. I did this. I started out and I put $500 in an account. I spent at least $100 of it. And then I looked at my account afterwards, and all of a sudden I had $600. Well, how is that? Well, gold has held its value while the purchasing power of the dollar has gone down. So this isn't just for wealthy people. This is a means that you can hold your money in the form of gold or silver. And technology works so beautifully. People sometimes will ask me and say, well, you know, how does it get transacted? Well, if you traveled, let's say you traveled to Canada and you used your U.S. dollar debit card in Canada, they'll take it on the MasterCard rails or Visa. They'll take it, and you could spend your money there. It'll come out of your account in U.S. dollars, and it'll go into their account, the merchant you're buying from, in Canadian dollars. So it really does work very effectively, very efficiently, and it's a means of economic justice. Can you imagine if you're a single mom and you get $1,000 at Christmas time that you save up and you get a bonus and you don't have to spend it right away? It's extra $1,000. What are you going to do with it? Well, you're going to put it in the cookie jar, right? You're going to put some $100 bills in the cookie jar, and when you need them, you'll pull them out. The problem is they're losing purchasing power every single year. Or you might put it in the bank and you stick it in the bank, but you got to put it in a checking account, because if you need that money, you'd have to write a check on it or use the debit card. What if you could put that in gold or silver and have it just as easily ready to spend with a debit card, just like you do with your U.S. dollar cash? So I think the potential here for bringing true economic justice, getting us back on a sound monetary footing, is just enormous.
I'd encourage, okay, I'm with you. Bishop, can you hear me? Go ahead.
Okay, yes, there you go. Sorry about that. I'm on the road, headed for a rather bleak event here. Some serious dental work, but that aside, Kevin, people, you know, when you and I first talked about this, I read all three of your books, by the way. So I read Pirate Money. I was very intrigued by it. People may think, well, this maybe there's some kind of business opportunity for you that, you know, you're selling gold or you're somehow invested in this. But this is something that you are pressing because it's good for people, not because it's a business opportunity for you or that you're doing some sort of business that involves this.
Oh, no, that's absolutely correct. We've spent our lives' fortunes in sacred honor. This has been on my heart since I was 10 years old when Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. And I just said to my dad, who was teaching the Constitution, I said, Dad, that's unconstitutional. We've got to be on gold and silver. And my dad said, yes, son. I said, but aren't they just going to print too many dollars if it's not backed by anything? Won't they just run the printing presses all the time and make our money worth less? I mean, the more you produce of something, the lower its value is. And he said, yes, son. And I said, well, I want to be chairman of the Federal Reserve so I can fix it. Well, that was 10 years old. I've been on this crusade now for 53 years. And my belief is I don't own a gold company. I don't own, you know, I mean, I have stock in some gold mining shares, but I'm not going to profit from this. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because it's good for America. It's good for economic justice. You know, I'll sell you a book, but as you know, Bishop, I've given away way more books than I've sold. We're working actively in 24 states at our own expense. If this passes, the only thing I have is I can pass on to my children and grandchildren a legacy of honest weights and measures following biblical principles for money.
Now, you talked about opening an account, and you have one. I have not done it yet, but I certainly plan to. But right now, the problem is there's nothing in America that will satisfy this need. So, in other words, you don't have a state Fort Knox in every state that can hold the gold that you purchase or that can manage the money that you want to spend from this gold account. So right now, there's nothing in America, and you're working on making sure that every state that can or is willing provides that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, what I use right now is an app out of the United Kingdom, and the gold is held in Switzerland. And I've got – that's two strikes against you right there because I don't want the United Kingdom to be able to come and confiscate my money at any point, which I don't think they could do, but they could certainly cut me off and say, get your money out now if I said the wrong thing on the Internet. You know, and the wrong thing on the Internet might be saying marriage is between one man and one woman. Bishop, you'd be canceled in a heartbeat for your strong biblical stance. And then the gold is held in Switzerland. I may never see it. I don't know if I'll ever get to Switzerland again in my life. So I don't like that. I want it to be held by a sovereign United States state, and I want it to be subject to the laws and jurisdiction of my state, and I want it protected if the federal government ever tries to come do the taking. Like FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 1933, confiscated everybody's gold just by executive order. I'm just going to come in and take your gold. Well, if it's held in Texas and I live in Texas, I can guarantee you that they will not let the U.S. federal government come and take our gold. We're not going to give it. And so I want that protection. And then lastly, I don't want to have to pay tax. If you bought a gold piece $20 gold piece in 1925 and it got handed down to you, or you had a $20 gold bill, you wouldn't have any tax on your gold piece of paper, on your $20 bill piece of paper, but you would have tax. If you sold that gold coin, you bought it for $20 and it's now worth $3,000, you'd have to pay 30% or 28% of the gains that you made in that to the federal government as tax, and all you did was preserve the purchasing power. I don't want that. So I want to trust my state. I don't want to have to pay tax on protection from inflation, and I don't want the federal government to be able to take it. So that's why we're advocating for this to be done in every state of the United States.
Now, I think you and I have talked about this before privately. The Trump administration, are they aware of this idea? I know it's primarily something that would happen in the states, but is it something that the president would support or that his administration, people in his administration are aware of and support?
we're working towards that. There was I got word just day before yesterday that somebody went into the White House and told the president about this, and he gave it a thumbs up as an idea. We'll have to educate them a little bit more. But the president's already come out and said he thinks it's immoral to tax the inflation component of capital gains. So you buy an investment and goes up in value just solely due to inflation. Why should we tax that? So he's already in agreement. He's also already in agreement of following the Constitution, and he's also already in agreement of pushing programs back to the states wherever possible. So I believe it philosophically matches, and then a lot of people that are working with us on this, like CFO Petronas in Florida, has been endorsed by the president to go to Congress. The treasurer in Louisiana, Dr. John Fleming, has been endorsed by the president to run for the Senate. So a lot of people close to him have supported what we're doing. I believe he will support it, and I believe his Justice Department and his IRS will come out in support of what we're doing. So we think now is the best time possible to do this. Just like Joseph, the best time to store up food is when you're having abundance. Now's our time, and we better do it.
By the way, Kevin, I haven't mentioned this, but you are an honoree at our Stand Awards dinner on May the 16th, receiving the George Washington Award for taking a stand. I don't mind saying I think George Washington would be proud of what you are doing right now, because I think he would be appalled at paper money backed by nothing. So talk a little bit then, before you go, about the national security implications of having paper money and the ability of adversarial or enemy nations to exploit that and hurt us.
Well, you know, they can exploit and hurt us simply by stop purchasing our debt. Right now, foreigners own a good portion of our U.S. debt. Well, the borrower is a slave to the lender. That's biblical truth. We're, in essence, a slave to China and also some friendlier nations like Japan and others. But we're having to borrow and beg around the world for money. That is a national security risk. This is where the British were during World War II, where they had to beg and borrow from the United States. You know what Germany decided to do in World War II? They printed up a bunch of fake British pounds, and they dropped them from the air across Britain in an attempt to destroy them. This is the economic warfare. That has, unfortunately, you know, I've studied that for the last 20 years. It's the least understood and the most dangerous aspect of a global conflict. We don't have to drop a bomb or have a bomb dropped on us to have our nation put at risk by foreigners. All they have to do is stop buying our debt and start producing an alternative that's more attractive. That's why the BRICS nations are talking about creating a gold-backed currency. And if China has a gold-backed yuan, people might start buying that instead of U.S. dollars, and that would put us in a world of hurt, because we run a $2 trillion a year deficit, and we have to borrow that from somewhere just to keep our government operating. I hope Doge and Elon Musk and President Trump are effective at cutting our spending. But if we don't do that, and we borrow $2 trillion a year from foreigners, we will be their slaves before long.
Well, Kevin, tell people how they can follow you, read more about what you're doing, because this is not the only thing you do, obviously, but I know this is a top project that you're working on. How can people get in touch with you? How can people follow whatever you're writing and speaking?
Okay, so to follow me, I would go to economicwarroom.com and then sign up for the free battle plan. There'll be a link there that says sign up for a free battle plan. All we really need is your name and email address, and you can put other information. And we like to know your zip code, I guess, so we know where people are approximately and where we're reaching and being effective. But then we'll send you a free update every week. That tells you what's on our Economic War Room show. You can get access to the free battle plan, how you can use this to benefit your family. But also, if you want the transactional gold that I mentioned, where you can use gold and silver as money and spend them at the lowest possible fee and with the greatest possible usage, then you'll want to go to transactionalgold.com and sign up there as well, and we'll keep you up to date on what's happening in your state. We need an army of people like your group, your Stand group, and your Awakening group, to go to their state legislator and go to their governor and their treasurer and say, do this in my state. You know, you've shown the power, Bishop, of you've helped turning around Virginia. When you took a stand and ran for lieutenant governor, everybody told you, don't do it. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be too expensive. Take too much out of your life. But you did it anyway. And you know what? If Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, maybe the next governor, or Governor Youngkin, who I met recently at a conference, if they don't stop and say thank you to you, shame on them. They should stop and say thank you. You paved the way for common sense to return to Virginia, and when we have the next governor, Winsome Sears, it's because you made that possible, because you took that hard stand. We need an army of grassroots people, because you didn't do it alone. You did it with this team of people behind you, and we need that same team of people behind us at transactionalgold.com standing up and saying, I want biblical and constitutional money in my state also. Count me too. And if we could have that army sign up from here, sign up for our battle plans, and then sign up at transactionalgold.com, we together can take us and do what Luke 16:11 says. Jesus says, if you're not faithful with your worldly wealth, who will ever trust you with true riches? If we want to bring true riches, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, to this earth, we're going to have to be faithful with our worldly wealth. And you all can help me do that. God bless you all, and thank you for that.
God bless you, Kevin. Listen, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I don't think I signed up, and I should be signed up. So I'm going to make sure I get that done today, and I would encourage everybody on the call. In fact, we're going to encourage our entire list to sign up for this, Kevin, because I think this is – you're on the cutting edge of something that goes to the preservation of this nation. So thank you for everything that you're doing, my friend, and God bless you. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Folks, Kevin Freeman, I mean, this is cutting edge stuff that nobody else is talking about, and we need to be talking about it. I mean, we just went through a terrible bout of inflation, and it apparently is not yet over. It'll take a little bit for the Trump administration to get this mess under control that Biden started. But it's in part because, right, our money is not tied to anything. And which means that when you get a bunch of dollars flooding the marketplace, guess what? They have much less value. Gold is very different. He said a $25 gold piece now would be worth $3,000 because really, $25, if it maintained its value, it would buy what $3,000 buys today. But of course, it's not like that, and it's not like that because money shifts and changes and increases and declines in value because it's just paper. It's really based. I mean, money, let's face it, is a psychological measure of value because the only measure that it has is what people are willing to do in order to get it and what people are willing to spend in order to get what they want. So other than that, it has no inherent value in it. I'd never really thought a lot about this until I began to read Kevin's books and talk to him. So, and you know, I'm committed to saving America, and I think this is an important part of it that we dare not ignore. So, look, folks, with everything that's going on in the country right now, with all that Donald Trump is doing, and I'm sure I express how all of you feel, I am absolutely elated. I said that to a friend the other day. They said, I don't even know whether that's a good enough word. Like, we are just thrilled with what the president is doing. And, I mean, every day. I love this, holding back that money from Colombia and getting that money back from Stacey Abrams. I mean, can you imagine that, folks? That they, Biden's administration gave her almost $2 billion for some kind of economic or some kind of environmental nonsense to an organization that only had $100 in its treasury last year. And suddenly it's enriched by $2 billion. I mean, this stuff is just as crooked as it can be. It's just totally corrupt. You know, they weren't giving her that money to try to save the environment. They were giving that money so that she could help buttress their political position and use it to do whatever political assignment they have for her, essentially. I mean, because that's all she is. She's just a political operative, but $2 billion. I mean, that's obscene. And your money and mine, by the way. I mean, not Biden's money, your money and mine, but they gave it to her. Well, thank God Lee Zeldin has apparently frozen it. And I hope she never gets her hands on it, because she doesn't deserve not a single dime of taxpayer dollars in order to, quote unquote, save the planet. Give me a break. It's just ridiculous. Well, at any rate, the battle goes on. And as I've said before, President Trump can do a lot, and he is doing a lot, and God bless him for it. But the cultural, the spiritual, the moral, the cultural battle that we are fighting, we have got to continue to fight and continue to stay active, because if we don't, 4 years later, after President Trump leaves office, we don't know who the next president will be. It won't be another Donald Trump. There can't be another Donald Trump, frankly. We want to have the culture in such a condition, in such a position, that the progress we've made in restoring the foundational principles of our nation cannot be reversed. And, you know, getting rid of all of these illegal aliens is a critical part of that, because they're part of the Democrats' plan for taking over the country. That's what they were brought in for. They didn't bring these people in here out of compassion. They brought them in here because they see them as the future of their power over America. And we've got to send them packing, because it doesn't matter what the Democrats had in mind. They broke the law. They shouldn't be here. They have to go. End of discussion. And that's the attitude President Trump has. And I'll tell you, I'm thrilled with it, because it's part of taking away one of the power levers that I call them Democrats now, that the Democrats came up with, trying to basically turn America into California, Vermont, Massachusetts, one of these one-party states where they basically call the shots and do whatever crazy things they want to do, challenge them or stop them. So you and I are joining with President Trump to challenge them and stop them in our own venues, in our own situations. Because remember, folks, you can see this. They're never going to quit. I mean, they're crazy as loons. And I love it, because the crazier they get, I think, the more support they lose, the more Americans look at them and say, these people are nuts. I don't want them in power in our country. And maybe they will end up destroying their own party, and something more moderate will arise out of it that actually is based on some logic and facts and American ideals, rather than this Marxist nonsense that the Democrats have basically embraced. Well, look, I want to invite all of you to come to our Stand Awards dinner on May the 16th. That's a Friday night. It's going to be at Cornerstone Chapel. That's, I believe it's 650. What is it? It's in Leesburg. What is it? 650 Battlefield Parkway Southeast, I think. 650 Battlefield Parkway Southeast. Go to our website, standamerica.us, for all that detailed information, just in case I got that detail wrong. But May the 16th, 7 p.m. for the dinner, 6 p.m. for the sponsors' reception. We'd love to have you come. Tickets are $150. I know that's a bit rich. Those of you who can come, please do. Those of you who can't, if you want to make a donation, it's our biggest fundraiser and our biggest fundraising time of the year. This dinner helps to support our organization through most of the remainder of the year. So I am asking for your help. Maybe the dinner's too rich. Make a contribution of $25 or whatever it is to help us. We got some tremendous honorees, Moms for Liberty founders, Tina Deskovich and Tiffany Justice, Robert Woodson of the Woodson Institute. If you don't know who he is, you look him up. I mean, this guy has been a pioneer conservative in America, and particularly among black conservatives, because he was taking heat when the rest of us were hiding. So God bless him. And Kevin Freeman is one of our honorees, because he's raised this very fundamental issue, which I believe is frankly, being ignored right now. And he didn't go into detail, but I tell you what, he can go into a lot more detail about the vulnerability that we have in having a floating currency and how other nations can take advantage of that or potentially supplant the dollar, which would be devastating for us as a country. It would be devastating. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to get it done. Grace of God and in the name of Jesus. The devil is not going to take this country, and God has given us a great victory with Donald Trump and his administration, President Donald J. Trump, 47th President of the United States of America, 45th and 47th. And now it's up to the rest of us to put our hand to the plow, keep working in our own venues, in our own situations, to do everything we can do. I got a call the other day from a friend. I won't give his name, but he's now working in the administration. He called to let me know that. He's a wonderful Christian attorney, bright as a, just sharp as a whip. I mean, just a wonderful guy. And he called and said to me, listen, I'm working here now. I want you to know that, we're Christianity is no longer going to be an outlier. We're no longer going to be the stepchildren. We are embracing faith as part of our American culture, and we're not making any apologies for it. I said, praise God, man. I love it. So, folks, be encouraged. We are on our way up, not down. And these Democrats and all their Marxist nonsense, their godless nonsense, I call them the coalition of the godless, that delegation of demons, they are on their way out, not in. And we praise God for it. But we don't have the victory yet, but we are going to. We just have to stay at it. So you all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up. Refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.